listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Hail, thou once despised Jesus! Hail, thou Galilean King! Thou didst suffer to release us! Thou didst free salvation bring! Hail, thou agonizing Savior, bearer of our sin and shame! By thy merits we find favor. Life is given through thy name. Reading today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, and very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining apparel, and they were afraid, and bowed their faces to the earth, and said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other woman that were with them which told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass, they communed together and reasoned. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another, as ye walk, and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it should have been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying, they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Then said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And they were terrified, and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. So far we read this narrative. It's a long narrative, much longer than Matthew and Mark and John. But what wonderful things here in this scripture concerning Christ and concerning the scriptures that spoke of him earlier. Let's think again of those words. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Let's pray that he'll do the same with us today. Our Father, we give thanks for this narrative, this story of the resurrection of Christ, how it unfolded, how thou, Lord Jesus, didst make thyself known to the women, to the apostles, to the two men on the road to Emmaus, to all of them, and later then to many more, as Paul could write to the Corinthians, even 500 at one time. And we think of the 1900 and some years since that, that thou didst reveal thyself to many sinners, even as Paul could say, that thou, Father, didst reveal thy Son in him, that he might preach Christ among the heathen and amongst the Gentiles. And we pray that thou wilt do the same today, both in calling many laborers, reveal Christ in them, that they might then preach him, and also many sinners that know they're lost before thee, separate from thee because of their sin, that they might be given Christ, and as thou hast said, to as many as received him, to them thou dost give power to become thy children, even to those that believe on thy name, and who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of thee, Father. We pray that many might be born again today, and many might hear thy word, and many might be called mightily by thy Spirit, having us, the church, once again revived, and many others awakened and saved. We pray, Father, for these things, even as Christ has said, that we must pray that thy kingdom may come, thy will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. But also we give thee thanks that thou hast given us our daily bread, and we pray that thou wilt continue to do that, both for those who have been blessed so wonderfully and being given much as we are here in this area, and others that are in hunger and want and starvation. We pray for them, for thy mercy on them. We pray especially, Father, that we may have the bread of life, and those that will soon die, that they might have it before death. We pray for those in sickness, that they might have healing and injury. Those, Father, that remain in their beds, both in sickness and injury, that they might have comfort and teaching. Those, Father, that are in lonesomeness and sorrow, that they might have also comfort from thee. We pray for those in older age. We pray for the troubled homes. We pray for the children in those homes. We pray for our nation and other nations. We pray for the leaders, and especially, Father, that they might be saved through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. We have read a long narrative, but it is a perfect word, and far more perfect than if we would read part of it and then try to give the explanation of it, the history of it. I hope each one of you that have the scripture in your home will read this from not only the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, but also from the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of John, and then as well what we read beginning our thoughts on the resurrection of Paul writing to the Corinthians, and that 15th chapter of that first letter that he wrote to them, dealing much with the resurrection, the historic part of it, and the part of the great blessing of it and the need of it. Yes, it is the resurrection of the Son of Man, who was the Son of God. He came and took on him the form of a man, lived here on earth, glorified his Father in all things, and then took our place in death. And now he rose again as we read the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. In Matthew and Mark, we read just of two women, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. Here we read of others, more. We read of three by name. In the 10th verse, we read Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and others with them. This may account for the different ways in which we read of the angel, sometimes described as a young man, sometimes described as two young men. When we read the Gospel of John, we read only of Mary Magdalene, one person. And here, as we said in Matthew and Mark, two women. And here we have three plus others that are not named. So they may have come, some earlier, some a little later, and some giving the story as they experienced it when they first came, told the apostles later, because it was the women alone that were there at that time. Even though Peter and John came later, after the women had came back and told them, we read in verse 12, then rose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. John tells us there was also John there. And one of the things that also John tells us, they knew not the scriptures, that he would be risen. Think of what we read here in this narrative in Luke. In verse 6 of the 24th chapter, he is not here but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. The angel here repeated the gospel that the Lord Jesus himself had said earlier when he was with the apostles and with others, the disciples, sometimes with the multitudes, telling them ahead a number of times. We see it recorded in the gospels that he's going to suffer, die, rise again, stating it very plainly. Yet none of them remembered when the crucifixion took place, when he was in the grave. They were not there in expectancy and say, we're going to be there when he rises. We're going to be there. See it. We know he's going to rise again. They didn't. Instead, they were in sorrow, in fear, behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Even though the Jews thought, as we saw last week, that they would probably come and steal the body. That's why they brought the soldiers down there to secure the grave. That this wouldn't happen in their foolishness. And yet, those high priests, those Pharisees, remembered what he said. They said, this deceiver said that he would rise again. They remembered it, the wicked. But here, his disciples that loved him, that were sorrowful, weeping, and these two men on the road to Emmaus as well, in sorrow. He says, why? What manner of communications are you having here and are so sad? Sad. One of the reasons they were sad is they had not known the scriptures, and they were reproved for it. Listen to verse 25. He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to have believed all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Yes, when we think of Isaiah 53, speaking of his suffering, he doesn't speak particularly, directly, plainly of his resurrection, but he speaks of his glory. He shall see the travail of his soul. He shall be satisfied. He will be and is now on the right hand of the Father in glory. Yes, in glory. Glorified, even as he said when he appeared to Mary Magdalene, when he says, don't touch me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go and tell my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Many things unfolded little by little on that resurrection day. As we said before, some of the gospel writers tell us one part, some another part. Especially what happened those first hours was told by the women. Maybe Mary Magdalene told some of them what she experienced. Maybe Mary Magdalene and the other Mary told others what they experienced together. And then when we have here the three women coming, including Joanna, they may have also told another apostle, well, this is what happened when we were there, or when we came on the scene, or when the latter one came on the scene. Each one of them seeing a different thing. First, the angel rolling away the stone. One of the narratives tell us he sat on the stone. Others tell us he was sitting in the tomb. And each of these tell us a certain part of the happening as they unfolded. Probably 1 minute this, another minute that, another minute something else. We saw in our previous message how when this angel came, the earthquake came, he rolled away the stone. The keepers sent there by Pilate, asked for by the Pharisees and by the high priest, became as dead men. They became fearful, but then went and were told to tell the lie, which, as Matthew says, is still known up to this day. What a terrible thing, but how thankful we can be that we have the truth. The truth. The truth. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and then later Paul, tell us the truth of his resurrection, that we can join with those, as described in Acts chapter 4. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. We may not do it in great power like they did. We may not have as great a grace as they did. But yet we have the knowledge. We have the scriptures. We can read the exact scriptures, both of those who prophesied of his coming, those of which Christ said to these two men, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have written. They should have. And yet at the same time, we also read in verse 45 of this 24th chapter of Luke, the same chapter, different, a slightly different time, a little bit later in the evening, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Both are true. It might seem like a paradox. It might seem like a contradiction. But we are fools when we don't believe the scripture. And we will not stop being fools till our eyes are opened, till our heart is opened, till our understanding is opened, till we have the miracle of grace, till we have what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus was needed, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was spoken of by the prophets, by Moses, all of them. Moses, the prophets, all spoke of the coming of Christ, his suffering, his resurrection. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. We might say, oh, I wish I'd have been there. It would have been wonderful to have the Lord Jesus himself expounding them to us as well as to them. But yet we can go to those scriptures. In our ignorance, we may not recognize them as we should. We may not find them all. But this is why we should do. Search the scriptures, Christ said, for they speak of me. Yes, he told that to the disciples that thought they were disciples of Moses. They said, he says, for had you believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Yes, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. How many there are that say we believe the word of God? But do you believe on the Son of God rightly for salvation? Do you believe he had to die for you? Do you believe he rose again for your justification? Do you believe it all took place as the scripture tells us? The Old Testament scriptures telling us it would. The New Testament scriptures telling us it has. And Paul later referring to it to the New Testament church the importance of it, and saying, if Christ be not risen, then are we yet in our sins? Yes, he must be risen for our justification, but you must know it by faith. Christ rose 1900 and some years ago. But it was only when I was 28 years old, when God taught me, that I knew what it was to be justified by faith in that resurrected Savior. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And to know the need of it, to know the reality of it. Otherwise, we also will be in ignorance, will be fools and slow of heart to believe the Scriptures. And again, like the apostles who had been told by Christ, and not only told directly that he would suffer, he would die, be crucified, and rise again, but at different times he pointed out the Scriptures, as saith the Scriptures, as saith Isaiah, as Moses wrote. Sometimes these things are repeated just as they're written, sometimes who wrote them. All of that is there. The wonderful Word of God. The Word of God, as we said before. God says, I magnified my Word above my name. How can it be? A name which is above every name. The name at which every knee shall bow. And the Scriptures magnified above that name, that how much we ought to bow to the Word. How much we ought to bow to the God who gave it. How thankful we ought to be to have this resurrection story. And as we read it here in these 46 verses, 47 verses of the Gospel of Luke, there's more there following. The promises that he said for the future. But we have the narrative here of what happened up to that resurrection day. The morning, throughout the day, how it unfolded. And the Lord willing, we'll see more by the Gospel of John another week to Mary Magdalene. What the Lord Jesus did then in coming to the apostles, a slightly different narrative of what also happened, and him giving them the Holy Spirit, and all the way he revealed himself to them, all for his glory, all for our blessing, all a needed reality in our lives, by faith. Faith which cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, all by the Word, as Paul said to the Corinthians, by the Word preached. By the foolishness of preaching, God saves those that believe. We don't know when these men were saved. We don't know if it was when God opened their understanding on the day of resurrection, or if they were saved before. We certainly may believe they were saved then, and the way they lived after that, finally came in one accord, in one place, in prayer and supplication, with the rest. Oh, think of it. Believe it today, for God's glory and your salvation.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.